Rainforest Crunch, the candy and popular ice cream made with Brazil nuts, is an example of a new merchandising strategy known as green marketing. Shoppers today, so the theory goes, want products whose consumption somehow helps save the planet. Developed by Ben & Jerry's Ice Cream and the Boston-based organization Cultural Survival, the Rainforest Crunch scheme is intended to prove that it's more profitable to keep the Amazon intact than to convert it to cattle pastures. The plan is to give thousands of people who live and work in the forest a stake in preserving it. But producer Cecilia Weissman traveled to Brazil and found that some people question whether this really is responsible rainforest development.
This is where Rainforest Crunch starts, under a dense green forest canopy. A rubber tapper in a broken straw hat plucks Brazil nuts off the ground and tosses them into the basket on his back. We're in the state of Acre, deep in the Brazilian Amazon, in what is called an extractive reserve, part of the rainforest officially protected by the Brazilian government. Chico Mendes, the rubber tapper assassinated 3 years ago while fighting deforestation, dreamed that such reserves would protect the rubber tapper's livelihood and stop ranchers and colonists from cutting down the Amazon. For part of the year, these rubber tappers extract latex from trees, and when the sap isn't flowing, they harvest Brazil nuts. But even after this reserve was created, the rubber tappers were barely making a living. Then Jason Clay came along.
What our project is doing is developing products, markets for rainforest commodities.
Clay is director of marketing at Cultural Survival, a Boston-based indigenous rights group. He and Ben Cohen of Ben & Jerry's Ice Cream came up with the idea for Rainforest Crunch one night after a Grateful Dead benefit concert to save the rainforest.
What we want to do is let Americans do what they do best, consume. But we want to show them a way to do it that's actually going to help somebody. And it's not going to be totally self-centered as it has been in the past.
And the way that works, Clay says, is by increasing the demand for forest products. This, he believes, will give forest people a decent income so they don't abandon their lands to ranchers who clear the trees for pasture. For 2 years, Cultural Survival has been buying nuts from the Chico Mendes Brazil Nut Processing Plant in the Amazonian village of Chapuri, Mendes's hometown. The factory, owned by the rubber tappers themselves, was bought with a loan from Cultural Survival. It employs more than 100 workers who sit at long wooden tables and one by one shell the nuts in big metal nutcrackers. One of the factory managers, Roland Polanco Ribeiro, is the son of a rubber tapper. He runs the factory with help from accountants and agronomists provided by Cultural Survival. But their goal, he says, is to keep control in the rubber tapper's hands.
Nunca hacemos nada si no lo discutimos antes.
We don't do anything without talking all about it with the members of the cooperative so that they all know exactly what's going on. We want people to come here and train us to do all of this ourselves. If we let outsiders come in and take control, they could take advantage of us and rob us.
On this day, Ribeiro is hosting representatives from a Dutch conservation group and the World Wildlife Fund.
What we are trying to do is a model of action.
Garo Batmanian is a tropical forestry program officer for the World Wildlife Fund. He and the other visitors are hoping this project will become a model for successful rainforest development. Already, the co-op has had to tackle some tough problems. The first year, roads were so bad they couldn't get enough Brazil nuts out of the forest. This year, they have plenty of nuts, but they're grappling with the problem of bacteria contamination. Batmanian says the tappers must find ways to make this project viable in the long run.
The more efficient they get in the processing and the marketing of their products, the more money they're going to make. So the more economic incentive they're going to have to stay in the forest. Nobody wants to get rich. They just want to have a decent life.
In the forest, some rubber tappers, like Manuel Viana da Silva, are starting to see results.
Pega direto assim, quebra logo. Começa assim, primeiro de janeiro.
Viana da Silva has gathered Brazil nuts since he was a young boy, and for as long as he can remember, sold them to buyers from a Brazilian company that has monopolized the nut trade. The prices were so low, he nearly left his land and went to the city. But last year, Viana says, he started selling his Brazil nuts to the rubber tappers cooperative, and his income doubled.
E depois foi formada a cooperativa e melhorou a nossa vida 100%.
My life has improved 100%. Before, the middlemen abused us. We would work and work and get nothing for what we were doing. Now I've bought some cows. Before, it would have been impossible. And look, I was able to paint my house. It's just a little start, but it's something.
E com esperança de melhorar mais, né? Aí chega o ponto de melhorar, faz uma casa melhor.
But everyone involved in this effort is beginning to realize that living up to the Rainforest Crunch project's great expectations is not so simple. So far, only a few hundred out of the thousands of rubber tappers in the Amazon have benefited from selling their nuts to the co-op at higher prices. And now that they've come into contact with the world of international commerce, some rubber tappers have begun to understand how poor they still are. Osmarino Amancio, deputy secretary of the National Council of Rubber Tappers, doesn't think they're getting a fair deal.
Imaginem se você pudesse conseguir pelo menos 40% do lucro, né?
Imagine what we could do if we were to get 40% of the profits. We think that would be fair. After all, they use our name in their advertising, saying, "Buy this, it's made by the people of the forest."
Earlier this year, the Rubber Tappers Co-op decided to raise the price of their Brazil nuts in order to pay their members a living wage. But that price is higher than the going rate on the world market. So cultural survival has turned elsewhere and now buys most of its Brazil nuts for Rainforest Crunch at a cheaper price from commercial harvesters in Bolivia. They say the co-op is just going to have to learn how to operate in a competitive market. But Rubber Tapper Council leader Amancio says this doesn't make sense. He wonders why they should have to live in rickety shacks with no running water or electricity, while their associates in the United States sit in modern, comfortable offices.
É apenas porque elas têm conhecimento do lucro que elas estão obtendo, né, com o marketing, com a marca Povo da Floresta. Nada mais. Não existe.
These organizations are profiting in the name of the forest peoples. They don't care about us. Their profit is huge. They are just new middlemen, new exploiters.
O intermediário entre a cooperativa e as empresas que estão pegando isso.
The way it worked last year was that the Ben & Jerry subsidiary that makes Rainforest Crunch shared 20% of the profits with Cultural Survival. That came to $100,000. Cultural Survival, in turn, gave that amount and more to the Rubber Tappers Cooperative in the form of loans and grants. The co-op is also entitled to a 5% premium, a kind of environmental tax which is charged to Ben & Jerry's. But the co-op has fallen so far behind in paying back loans that Cultural Survival is simply keeping that premium as collateral. Cultural Survival Marketing Director Jason Clay says rubber tappers and other rainforest indigenous people still have no idea what it means to manage a corporation in today's international economy.
They're not ready yet. 50 Indians can balance a checkbook. How the hell can they run a factory? In the entire country of Brazil, 50 Indians can balance a checkbook. That will happen. In 10 to 20 years, some of these groups are going to be ready for their own factory. Some sooner than that. But it's going to be a slow process. It took hundreds of years to develop the system that exists. It's going to take at least a few decades to change it.
Cultural Survival is trying to negotiate a lower price for Brazil nuts with the co-op. But co-op leaders insist that's impossible. They say if they're forced to squeeze the people who collect Brazil nuts, like the big commercial suppliers do, then there's no point in having a cooperative at all. So now they're looking for a new buyer. Perhaps in Germany or England, one leader says, there might be a group or someone who's willing to pay more to help the people of the forest. But if they don't find a buyer for their nuts, they say they may just have to close. I'm Cecilia Weissman.